Brother Hall do his very level best this morning to preach what God has given me. And I'll assure you, it ain't much what I've got. But the Holy Ghost can make it a whole lot if He wants to. Amen. And we'll try to continue right on the book of 1 John. So if you'll turn your Bible to 1 John chapter number 2. And I'm only going to read one verse of Scripture this morning is all we're going to need. 1 John chapter number 2, okay? The Bible said in verse number 18 of 1 John chapter number 2, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer, and I'll try to bring the message. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the morning hour, the Sunday school time, the singing, the fellowship. Thank you for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given, Lord, to correct and comfort us, convert sinners. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have this morning of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I pray for your divine touch upon the service. I pray for the power of God. I pray for the wisdom of God. I pray for liberty. I pray for unction. I pray for that old-fashioned filling of the Spirit of God. May you give good grace. And I do ask you, Lord, this morning to convert some sinner that's lost and without God, blind, dead in trespasses and sins, headed for hell, without God and without hope. And I pray for your people that you'd revive us, you'd visit us. Lord, like Brother George said, we need a visitation from the Spirit of God. Now I pray you'll visit us and work on our hearts, draw us nigh unto yourself, forgive us of our sins, bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. For the sake of reading that text, I want to read it one more time out of 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18, where it said, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Now, the last time I preached out of this, in verse number 17, I preached on preparations for the end. And I tried to stress the fact that the end is drawing nigh. And I want to kind of continue on with that thought somewhat this morning and preach on this thought, the beginning of the end. Now that may sound strange to you, but I'll explain that in just a moment. The beginning of the end. We've all used that term before. When we see things beginning to go in the bad way, we say it's the beginning of the end. But I'll tell you, in the Word of God, it's just reversed. The beginning of the end is when things are going good. Say amen right there. And so I want to preach on that thought a little while this morning, on the beginning of the end. As John continues to write here for us in this little discourse on the last day, he uses the phrase in verse number 18. He said, "Little children," he didn't say it might be, he said, "it is the last time." And he said again, in giving proof that it's the last time, he said, "And there are many antichrists that are in the world. And by this we know that it is the last time." Those that have come out in opposition to the gospel, come out in opposition to the Word of God. The world today is anti-God. That's right. Say amen. Brother Woodard said he saw somewhere where they took a poll on evolution versus creationism, and there were 67% of those that polled believed in evolution. Well, I'd hate to think that I come from a monkey. Amen. Now maybe they might have come from a monkey, but I didn't. Amen. I was created in the image and in the likeness of Almighty God. My kinfolk never swung from a tree by their tail. Somebody say amen right there. And but he said it is the last time. And we know that because there are many antichrists. that are gone out into the world or in the world. Now, Brother Hall is not a Greek scholar. I don't claim to be a Greek student. But the word that is used there for the last time is the Greek word hora, H-O-R-A-H. And it literally means the last hour. It means hour. That's what it means. And what John is saying is that we're not only living in the last time, but we're living in the last hour. Not if we're going to be living in the last hour. We are living in the last hour. I want to put this before you. If John could say in some 1900 years ago that we're living in the last hour, where do you think you and I are living today? I want to remind you again of what I preached on last Sunday, preparing for the end. And friend, I'm telling you, it is just around the corner. The signs of the times are on us. And I don't want to get ahead of my message, but one of those signs is the fact that there are many antichrists in the world today. And there are many antichrists that oppose the Word of God. They oppose the gospel. They oppose the truth. They have created a doctrine and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, and they're antichrist. Amen. Somebody say amen or say oh me, either one. Don't matter to me. Now the last days, now listen carefully, the last days begin with the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why John could say here, it is the last time. Somebody said, well, I know we're living in the last days. Friend, we have been living in the last days ever since the life of Christ. Amen. That's why I said we're in the beginning of the end. When Christ came, we actually started the beginning of the end. It started the last days. This world had been here, I don't care what the evolutionists say, it's not 50 billion or 100 billion or 200 trillion years old. This earth has been here 6,000 years. And it had been here 4,000 years when Christ came. After that 4,000 years, it's been 2,000 years since. And ever since His coming, we have been living in the last time. In fact, when He came to this earth, it was the beginning of the end. It definitely was the beginning of the end. Now, I want you to notice just a couple of things here. I want you to notice that he begins the verse by addressing the little children. You remember I preached on those little children. I preached on the young men. And I preached on the fathers. And I think that it's noteworthy here that he addresses here not the young men and not the fathers, but the little children. Those that have not matured in the Lord. And I won't say this, he gives us this as a warning. And I'd like to give it to you today as a warning. If you've not been saved very long, what he is doing is warning you that there are antichrists that are out there. The young men are more apt to be drawn away or be allured by the world and fleshly appetites. But the young little children are more apt to be beguiled by these antichrists that would lead them into error and false doctrine. And I'm telling you, it is going on all over our country today. Brother, I'll tell you, the cardinal doctrines of the Bible have just about become a thing and all. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said in the Word of God, He said, well, nevertheless will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when He comes. And He's not just talking about a few people being saved. He is talking about those that believe in the body of truth. Thank God this Bible is the body of truth. And there's not many people today that believe this Bible. Well, they say they believe it in word only, but in works they deny this Bible. Come on in the house, little children. By this you will know that we're living in the last time. I'm telling you, we're living in the beginning of the end. And you say, hey, take that for what it's worth. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. That's right. But these little children, they're liable to be beguiled and poisoned by these antichrists. It was therefore necessary and pertinent to put the young converts on their guard for being more inexperienced and less established in the faith. They are apt to give ear unto those who were desirous of corrupting them. Now I'm telling you, there are those that will corrupt you. Brother, I'm telling you, there is a plurality of doctrines today. Did not Paul say in the book of Ephesians that we ought to be perfected by the preaching of the Word of God? And one reason being that we would not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. I'm amazed at people today that believe one thing today and something else tomorrow. Somebody said, "Preacher, I haven't seen that. Maybe you need to get your head out of the sand." I see it everywhere I go. And I'm not going to mention a name, but I know a fella, and I'm not going to mention no name. I have to go to politics to illustrate this, and I'm not building up, no, I'm just going to politics. I know this fella that when everything started, it was Fred Thompson. I'm not talking about News and Views either. But he's the man. He's the man that's going to make it. He is the only conservative. If he don't get it, I'm not even going to vote. Well, when Fred Thompson pulled out, all of a sudden this fella switched over to Mitt Romney. Well, Romney's the only one left. Praise God, he is a conservative. I'm for him all the way. Praise God, I'm telling you, he's a man. But when he pulled out, guess where he went? He went to John McCain. Amen to God. Well, I'm not a liberal. I am a conservative. Then why are you going to vote for a man that believes in embryonic stem research, which is no more than abortion? Why do you want to vote for a man that will take away your gun rights? Why do you want to vote for a man, ladies and gentlemen, that believes in same-sex marriages and voted for it in the Senate? I'm telling you, we're there today. It's not only out in the world of politics. It's in the house of God where people believe one thing today and another thing tomorrow. And the reason it is, we're living in the beginning of the end. It is the last time, and you know it's the last time, because many antichrists are going out in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Men change their mind faster than a woman changes her wardrobe. There's more views on the doctrines of the Bible than in our purses in Sister Hall's closet. Take my word for it. She's got a lot of purses. Amen. Now, look here. What are some things that mark the beginning of the end? I'm going to tell you this is very simple, but it's what I'm going to preach this morning. I'm going to say God's communication to man is fulfilled. That is absolutely right. When God penned down this Bible, ladies and gentlemen, in fact, when God sent His Son into the world, it was the final revelation from God to man. We no longer preach on what is going to be necessarily. We preach the Bible, the things that have already occurred. Paul said, preach the Word. And things in this Bible have already happened. I am not a foreteller. I'm a foreteller. I tell what has already happened in the Word of God. And when Jesus came into this world, it was God's final communication to man. Take your Bibles and stay with me. Hebrews chapter number 1 this morning. Hebrews in chapter number 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Get this. What are we talking about? The last days. Talk about the last times. He hath in these last days spoken unto us. How? By His Son, in whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom He also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I'm glad, thank God, it said when He by Himself had purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. It didn't say when He had purged our sins and added water to it or works to it. Amen. He said when he had by himself, through his own blood, had purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. But what I'm stressing is that in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. Somebody said, preacher, do you have another proof text for that? Oh, yes. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word, that is the Logos, the thought. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm here to tell you, when Christ came into this world, ladies and gentlemen, in Him embodied the entire Godhead. And it was God's final revelation, God's final communication to a lost and a dying world. I'm telling you, we're living in the beginning of the end. Amen. That's right. That is exactly right. Let me give you this little parable in Matthew 21. If you want to turn, just stay right with me. I'm going to read some scriptures today. Matthew 21, verse 33. Now, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, digged a wine press in it, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Get this, but last of all, he sent his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on the inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At last he sent his son. Boy, we could go back through the Bible and name the prophets that God had sent into this world. We could name the prophets that God sent to Israel. And name the books in the Bible that God had paged down. But in the last days, in the last time, when all else was done, God sent His Son into the world. Now, I'm going to tell you what they done. Amen. They mocked him, scourged him, beat him, led him up Calvary's hill, and nailed him to an old rugged cross, thank God. And when he bowed his head and cried, it is finished, it was finished, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, the final word from heaven had been spoken to man through his son. Woo! Amen to God. That's right. Thank God. Amen. Now what I'm saying is, that finality had been reached in salvation and in the Scriptures. Finality in salvation. No more lambs. No more rams. Son, the Lamb had done God here. Praise God. I'm glad every year I don't have to carry a billy goat. Amen. Or a bullock. Or catch a little sheep and carry it down someplace and watch somebody cut its throat and shed its blood and skin it and cut it to pieces and burn it on a fire. I'm glad I don't have to see that. Praise God, I'm glad that my Lamb, amen, my King, my Lord, my God, my Lamb, amen, hallelujah, my Father, my everlasting Father, my Prince, my peace, my hope, my joy, my power, my grace, my love, my mercy. Thank God He come into the world. Amen. And shed His blood on the cross as God's darling Lamb from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. And so salvation is finalized. This crowd want to tell you where you got to be baptized in order to make it. They're straight out of hell. And you can tell them I said so. That doctrine is. Amen. Baptism don't add one thing to your salvation. But if it did, tell me why Christ suffered like He did. If dunking somebody in this little tub of water back here washed away their sins, why'd Christ die? Come on in the house. Amen. My verse in Hebrews said,
when He had by Himself purged our sins. Sat down, the only priest that has ever sat down when He got done offering the blood. When He put that blood on the mercy seat, He sat down. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, it was the beginning of the end. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm waiting for the day when He that sat down will stand up, hallelujah to God, and sound the trumpet and call Him bride out of this world. I'm glad. Thank God I'm in the bride. Call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm glad I'm part of the bride of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to God. My say amen right there. Hallelujah. Now, find out it's been reached in salvation and the Scriptures. I don't have time to go into all that. But God has nothing further to communicate unto mankind. Somebody said, I saw a vision. Is that right? Well, what would you eat before you went to bed? Sauerkraut or pizza? Well, I saw a 900-foot Jesus. Lord, He's much bigger than that. I think God was that little. And if you don't send me some money, I'm going to die. Let Him die. Prove Him. Come on in the house. There are no more revelations. I know people that believe in dreams today. They've been right here in this church that believe in dreams. They'll decide what they're going to do tomorrow on what dream they had the night before. Son, if I lived that way, I'd be afraid to get out of bed in the morning. Son, I see them Vietnamese coming at me all the time. I wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. But there are no visions and there are no dreams. And there are no revelations. As a matter of fact, that Bible they put in your Bible, the revelation of St. John the Divine in the very first words of the book of the Revelation says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It wasn't John's revelation. It was Christ revealing Himself. Amen. In the last days. Amen. I'm telling you, in these last days, God has spoken by His Son. Hey, it would behoove you to get in the Bible and read the Bible and let God talk to you and speak to you out of that Bible and quit worrying about visions and dreams. Amen. You believe God talked to you out of this book? Amen. Amen. It's alive. Thank God it's alive. Amen. Ain't a dead, it's not like us. It ain't a dead book. Woo! Hallelujah! Let me see what God told me to preach on. I wrote it down. That's why I got to write things down anymore. I'm going to preach on it one of these days. And Samuel, you know what the Bible, and I never seen it before in my life. I was reading the other morning in my devotions. You know what God said Samuel was doing there in Shiloh? When that God sent that man down there to tell him what his fate was going to be, that man said, what are you kicking the sacrifice for? Kicking the sacrifice. I don't know what all that means, but he kicked the sacrifice. Made people despise the sacrifice of the Lord. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of Baptists that are kicking the sacrifice. And a whole lot of people kicking the sacrifice. Hey, come on now. Somebody, they're kicking the sacrifice. That is, they don't want the sacrifice. There's got to be some other way. But I'm telling you, there is no other way. Hallelujah to God. If you don't have a sacrifice, and that sacrifice, the Lamb of God, you ain't a going to glory.
Amen. Now, no further communication. In Christ is the finishing of the unfolding of God's mind. When Christ came, we got the very mind of God. It unfolded to us. Jesus said in John 17:4, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I've finished the work Thou gavest me to do. Amen. He finished the mind of God. And then also, it means the conclusion of making known His will. In Luke 22:42, in the garden, when the Lord was in the garden, He said, Father, if Thou be willing,
Remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Hebrews 10:7, then said he, lo, I come, in the volume of the book is written to me, to do thy will, O God. Somebody said, I'm trying to find the will of God. Find Jesus.
Amen.
You find Jesus, you'll find the will of God.
Amen.
Amen. He is the will of God.
Yes.
And all you got to do is follow him. Don't lag behind and don't run ahead. Follow him. There's only one way to follow him. I'm going right back to this Bible. You've got to keep your nose in that book.
Amen.
Amen. Then a whole lot of people got out of the will of God because they got their nose out of the book.
Amen.
I was thinking the other day about Isaac when he blessed Jacob. We're supposed to be blessing Esau. He said, go out and get me some venison, the kind I like, and bring it in here. And said, I'll bless you before I die. And Mama overheard and sent Jacob out to get a little kid of the goats. And she took the fur off of it and put it on Jacob's neck and on his arms, because Esau was a hairy man. Jacob was smooth. And he went in and began to talk to his daddy. And Isaac said, you smell like the field. You smell like Esau. Esau was of the world. The field, the top of the world. Said, you smell like my son Esau. But said, your voice is the voice of Jacob. Said, come over and let me feel you. He said, yeah. I said, you feel like Esau. And he pronounced a blessing on Jacob. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there was a man that let his feelings override, amen, the very will of God. He went on, he said, the voice is Jacob. So he went on feelings rather than what he heard. And a whole lot of people are going on feelings rather than what they hear. The preacher preaching what they read from the Bible, and they're getting outside the will of God and fouling up their life. Amen, that's right. Some of you won't used to be hotter than firecrackers, and bless God, now you ain't even a firecracker.
Yeah.
Used to be like a cherry bomb, now you're one of them little dinkies. Yeah. You can hold in your fingers. Huh?
Yeah.
Come on now. Say amen. That's right. And let me say this, and I'll go on. What God has spoken through Christ will be unaltered to the end of time. You're not going to change it. You're not going to alter. God is not going to alter one word from this book. The Bible says in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, I'm telling you, you can take it to the bank. What God said is going to happen. Somebody said, well, I have a hard time believing in this thing called the rapture of the church. I don't have no hard time believing in it. Amen. So I have a hard time believing the dead that's in the grave, that's been saved, going to get up out of the grave. I don't have a hard time believing in it.
Amen.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. I have a hard time believing in hell. I don't have a hard time believing in hell.
Amen.
Oh, no. I'm telling you not word, one word. The way God said this thing's going to wrap up, she's going to wrap up. Don't be dismayed that the signs of the times are upon us, and we're living in the days of Sodom, and we're living in the days of Noah. God said it would come to pass. We better find God's will, walk close to God, and realize where we're at in this life.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now I want to say secondly, not only in the last days, the beginning of the end was when God's communication to man was fulfilled. The beginning of the end was also when Christ's death was the consummation of all that preceded it. I'm telling you, that is a pivotal point of time, is the death of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They even set years B.C. and A.D. Are you listening to me? Everything in this world revolves around that day that Christ gave His life.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you why. When He died, He consummated everything that preceded that.
Amen.
And the beginning of the end was on the way.
Amen.
No more Old Testament economy. The law was fulfilled. The sacrifices had all been fulfilled.
Amen.
Amen. He kept the law to the very jot and tittle. Everything that preceded it consummated on the cross. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to the day that He come and died. Oh, praise God. Now I'm telling you, everything in our life ought to point back to the time that He did come and die for our sins. Praise God. I think we've forgotten that Christ died and rose again. And it was according to the Scriptures. Hallelujah to God. Our whole life ought to revolve around Jesus. Amen to God. Everything in the past was fulfilled and everything in the future was set in order. That's my King. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Anybody listening? I feel like a preacher. I feel like a novice. But I feel dignified. Got my coat buttoned up. Ain't even got off the platform. I'm trying to prove to y'all I can be a dignified preacher. But one of these days I'm going to set my foot on that thing, just shove it plumb out in the middle of the floor and run for about a mile and a half and show you I'm not that dignified. Hallelujah. Will somebody pick it up if I do? Hope it don't, I'll move the flyers. We don't want to damage the flyers. No, I wouldn't do something like that. This is sacred. This is holy. I wouldn't dare do something. I wouldn't mistreat it in no way, shape, form, or fashion. It's a holy place up here. You don't realize where Brother Hall's standing this morning. That I'm standing between heaven and hell. That is exactly right. And I'm doing two things. I'm trying to encourage the saints to go on! And I'm trying to tell sinners, come on! And the saints, go on! Sinners, come on! Saints, go on! Sinners, come on! Saints, go on!
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to read 1 Peter. You can turn your Bibles there to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Christ's death was a consummation of all that preceded it. Listen very carefully. Verse 18, for as much as you know, thank God, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, thank God, of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want to ask you a question before I go on any further. What is hard to understand about that? Why? Are people, they've got to be willfully ignorant of salvation to believe that salvation is any other way than Christ and through His blood. That's what that book says. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how you were redeemed. But He says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. This thing was set in motion before the world ever was. But guess what? But was manifest when? In these last times, in this last hour, when Christ died, it was the beginning and the end, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Never before in the Old Testament, after Noah had said anything at all about the world coming to a close. But buddy, you read the book of the Revelation and it sure does. Everybody listening? Our redemption price was paid in full. Woo! Thank God. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. And it's paid. Now listen here. Wouldn't a man be dumb to buy a new home? Pay for it, fool, and tell his wife, hon, it's a beautiful home we ought to pay for. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. I've got a tent out here we're going to live in. Why on earth do you want to live in a tent? Got the home paid for. Well, let me ask you this. Why do you want to settle for anything less than heartfelt old-time salvation and rejoice in it? It's paid for. It's been purchased. Your soul has been purchased by the blood of the Lamb and sealed unto the day of redemption. My Lord, why do I want to live any other way? When I can live rejoicing in my heart because I'm going to heaven. Amen. That's right.
our inheritance was also secured. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Amen.
What about that? Hallelujah. Now, in the last time, now, our salvation, hey, has been revealed now. I've always thought that was saying something future. But through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're in the last time. John said, now it is the last time. We're there. Our salvation has been revealed now. Amen. That's right, now. And our fashion is guaranteed. Philippians 3:21 said, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's fashioning our body. The Bible said that Aaron took a graven tool and fashioned a golden calf. That is, he made it into the image of a calf. He fashioned it after a calf. But what Paul is saying there, he's fashioning our body like His glorious body.
Amen.
He's got out some graven tools of His own.
Amen.
And they're the hands of a cunning workman.
Amen.
And He's fashioning us into the likeness of His own body.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
That make a dead Methodist get happy, boy.
Amen.
It ought to make good Baptists get happy.
Amen.
To know that we're not what we're going to be.
Yeah.
Praise God, He's a shaping us and molding us.
Yeah.
Took an old hunk of clay, set it on the wheel. I'm talking about clay, something with no value at all.
Yeah.
But He said, I'm going to make a vessel out of you that pleases me. And He said, guess what? I'm going to take that vessel and I'm going to set it right on the mantle in my mansion.
Amen.
And I'm going to make you a trophy of my grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. Amen. Made like His glorious body.
Amen.
And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure.
Amen.
I say amen. Then I've got a couple more little points and I'm done. Then in the last time, we know it's the last time because of the corruption of the gospel by the Antichrist. Now I'm telling you, they're corrupting it. Little children, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. There are many Antichrists, and they're corrupting the gospel. The Bible said over in Jude chapter number, or verse number 4, the Bible said in Jude number 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, that makes them creeps, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, get this now, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that word lasciviousness means? Filthy. They turn the grace of God into something that's filthy. Oh, I believe in the death of Christ, but if you got to be baptized to go along with that now, go on, turn and make the grace of God filthy. For by grace are you saved through faith. Oh, I know that, but you got to do good works. Go on and make the grace of God filthy. If it's not a grace, it's works. And if it's works, it's not a grace. I can't imagine. But I'm telling you, there are people, there are Baptists out there that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness.
Amen.
They've made it a filthy thing. I've heard men stand in the pulpit and mock at grace. Well, I've heard them say, now you talk too much about grace, you'll become a hyper-Calvinist. How can you talk too much about grace?
Amen.
For by grace are you saved. That's like saying you can talk too much about the blood. Buddy, I'm going by. Yeah, I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
I'm not going to turn grace into something filthy.
Right.
I'm trying to tell you there's something added to that for you to be saved. Now, I think every believer ought to be baptized and identify with Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection and identify with that local assembly.
Amen.
But it don't save you.
Right.
If it did, the thief on the cross went to hell.
Amen.
If it saved you, if it saved a man, Abraham went to hell.
Right.
But it don't save. And God has never had but one way of salvation.
Amen.
Well, I believe you got to speak in tongues and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Works.
Amen.
Amen. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And when they do that, they deny the Lord. And in one place it said they deny the Lord that bought them.
Amen.
Come on now. They have trodden the Son of God under their feet. Hebrews chapter number 10. I don't know who preached on this. I heard somebody preaching on it up at Brother Shepherd's. In verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. If they died without mercy, the hand of two or three witnesses, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Insulted the Spirit of God. When you deny grace, you insult God Almighty. It's an insult to Him. It's stomping the blood under your feet. Hey, there are many antichrists in the world. And buddy, you better learn them, especially you that have not been saved long. They'll beguile you. They'll fill your head, that bunch of false Jehovah's Witnesses and that crowd, that bunch of Mormons. Come on in the house and say amen. I'm not looking to go out to some planet and have a whoopee time with my wife and replenish that planet with thousands of little babies. The Bible said in heaven we'll not be given in marriage, for we'll be like the angels.
Amen.
That crowd's full of hell. I'm going to tell you what they're full of.
Amen.
Amen. Hope some of them's listening. Don't bother me a bit. That baptized crowd. That crowd that believes that Jesus and Satan are brothers. And I don't care what the Mormons tell you. I read it with my own two eyes. They believe it.
Amen.
They deny the only Lord God that bought them.
Amen.
They're antichrist. And they corrupted the gospel.
Amen.
Because they corrupted grace. They corrupted the blood. They corrupted the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. That word count and counted the blood. That word count means I'll find it here in a minute, to lead or command with official authority. In other words, I know what I'm talking about. You better follow me. I know what I'm talking about. I've read the book, but what book? Amen. They despise the Spirit of grace. And I'm telling you, some must be teaching that today. Paul talked about false apostles and deceitful workers in the book of Corinthians. Amen. He's teaching in his day and they're teaching it today. And by this you'll know it's the last time. He didn't say there's a few of them. He said there's many antichrists. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't have to be worried nothing about this. Oh, I wouldn't be sure of that. That's the same thing the disciples thought. They spent 3.5 years with the Lord, but when he died, when he was taken, they were all scattered abroad.
Amen.
Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think you've got her nailed down, friend. Because I'm telling you, false doctrine can creep right into a Baptist church.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know some birds around us trying to creep it in, and they're creeps.
Amen.
Now, I'm fixing to wring a couple of their necks. Literally. Somebody said, "You mean that? Does a bear like honey?" I'm not going to have somebody coming out here spreading doctrine that comes out of a cult.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, final thing, you know it's the last time, because of the catastrophe that's going to follow. And I don't say too much about that. I started to say something, but I won't. Start to tell you what I'm going to preach on tonight. But it better not. Most of you wouldn't come back. And if you didn't have any amens in you this morning, you surely to goodness ain't going to have none tonight. There is a catastrophic day rapidly approaching because we're living in the last hour. And it's not going to be gone until that hour is gone. And I'm telling you, what awaits scores of people, not anything to be mocked or to be happy about.
Amen.
It's something that ought to grieve us and break us. That's right. Calls us to do our level best to rescue the perishing, care for the dying.
Amen.
Because they're going to hell without God and without hope. There is a catastrophic day just around the corner. Oh, Brother Hall, it's a long time off. That's, they never knew in the flood either till the flood came and took them all away. It's going to happen the same way. People's not expecting Christ to return. But He's coming.
Amen.
That little song Brother George sang the other day, "Coming Again." He's coming. I don't know when, but I know He is.
Amen.
Are you ready to meet Him? Are you prepared? Are you saved by the grace of God? Are you as close to God as God wants you to be as a Christian? Let's stand together.